say to you, like I said about my exercise bike, I ain't going to keep you long. Praise the Lord. They've been doing all this talking about food. I'm trying to eat better. I'm looking for healthier eating habits. And you hear people talking about that a lot. And I was over at the Rhema Park, and I saw some older gentleman, elderly fella. He looked in pretty good shape for a man that was his age, probably in his, maybe in his 80s or something. And so he was over there feeding the ducks. And I said to him, I said, sir, I got to ask you, what's your key to longevity? And he said, I'm not exactly sure what I attribute to. I said, what's your diet like? And he said, I'll tell you, I eat a lot of cotton candy. And I thought, my ears perked up. I want to know what this guy's doing. It sounds like he's doing something right. He said, I eat a lot of cotton candy. And he said, I drink a lot of Dr. Pepper. And he said, not that sugar-free junk. He said, the full flavor Dr. Pepper. He said, cotton candy and Dr. Pepper. And he said, of course, Slim Jims. He said, Slim Jims really keep me going throughout the week. And I was like, man, alive. I didn't realize eating healthy was so easy. I said, sir, can I ask you? I said, how old are you? He said, 22. Praise the Lord. You brought your Bibles tonight. Go to Matthew 27. I want to talk to you about the setup for resurrection. Didn't Pastor Hagin do a good job today? Praise God. If you didn't get to hear that message, if you're watching online, you didn't get to hear that, go back and listen to that. But I want to talk about, I was going to finish up the notes I'd been teaching about connections, but it just seemed good on Easter to share this message as I was praying about it. But the setup for resurrection, Matthew 27, beginning with verse 45, says this. It says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. So, if that was the end of the story, if that was all there was to the story, we might be in trouble, right? If Jesus has gone to the cross and he dies and that ends everything, that could be a problem. He's been crucified and now he's dead, but it's not the end of the story. Amen? It's not the beginning of his story, and it's not the ending. We're in the middle of his story. These things take place just after the triumphal entry. Jesus had made a glorious entrance into the city. We celebrate that. We know that is what we call Palm Sunday. But just a few days later, after entering into the city, the same voices who'd been shouting, Hosanna, are now yelling, crucify him. Right? And, in the span of a week, to go from when you see Jesus come in and you're saying, Hosanna, and you're worshiping and you're cheering for him, and by the end of the week, the same people with the same person are saying, crucify him, it was because they realized he wasn't the king that they expected. Certainly the king that we all needed. They wanted a military deliverer, but Jesus came as a spiritual redeemer. And when he didn't meet their expectations, disappointment set in. There's a problem sometimes with expectation that you can be disappointed when you expect things. Oftentimes it happens with people. I heard somebody say one time, when it comes to people, not God, but when it comes to people, expect nothing and then you'll be thankful for everything. Because, if you put expectations on people and then they don't meet the expectation, it will often leave you disappointed. There have been times where I put my own spin, maybe you've done this as well, I've heard something from the Lord, but then I assumed more than what the Lord said, and I put my own spin on it, and it didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to happen, and you have a tendency to get disappointed. But they turned on him. And Jesus, in the same way that what he was doing there, he makes a glorious entrance into our lives just like he did the city. But oftentimes when people get born again, I've seen this. I've been in ministry a number of years now. When I left Rhema in 2006, I immediately went into pastoring a church and, you know, always had a heart for the local church, love people certainly. But the number of people that I would see over the years that get disappointed after being born again, when something doesn't go their way, maybe they pray about something and it doesn't happen as quickly for them as what they felt like it should, and they get disappointed. Something comes up in their life, there's some kind of hardship or something, and they become disappointed. Pressures come. It's easy to lose direction or to question or to pull back. But what they didn't realize when they went from yelling Hosanna and glorifying God and saying Hosanna to crucify him, what they didn't realize was that Jesus' death was not the final. Jesus was carrying resurrection power. What they didn't see was that just because he died on the cross, they didn't realize that that wasn't the end of the story. And so they had become disappointed. If you look further in Matthew 27, beginning with verse 51, I always find this passage interesting. It says, "Behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom." So after Jesus has died, and the veil is torn from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. They were coming out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus and saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministered to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph the mother of Zebedee's sons. The scripture says graves were open and they said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Right? So we see after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, we see that there were lots of people that had been in the graves who were resurrected or raised from the dead. And the reason for that is because Jesus carried resurrection power. He was carrying life-giving power in his body. When he came here, he was showing us what it was that he came to do, raise the dead. Jesus had resurrection power, and nobody realized that that meant that the crucifixion wasn't the end of his story. Remember what Jesus said in John 10, beginning with verse 17, it says, he said, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Therefore, there was division among the Jews because of these sayings. Many of them said that he has a demon and he's mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Jesus wasn't overpowered and he wasn't defeated. He was in control the whole time. He said, "I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again." They thought that killing him was the end. But heaven understood what we all know now, that it was just part of God's plan. That it wasn't the end of his story. In verse 20 of John 10:10, people thought he was crazy, and he made a pretty bold statement. For him to say, I mean, that sounded to them crazy, to say that I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again. That sounds like a pretty bold statement. So bold, in fact, that they were saying this man is crazy. But he was more than crazy. He was right. Right? He wasn't crazy. He was accurate. John 11, the very next chapter, he proves what he said about having power over death. He said in John 10 that I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again. Then you see that he has power over death in the very next chapter. John 11, beginning with verse 17, says when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. This is the story about where Lazarus, he's been told that Lazarus has died. And so they're going to meet Lazarus's family and they go to the tomb. It says that he found out that he'd already been in there 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20 says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Then beginning with verse 39, skipping down, John 11, it says, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. He said, Lazarus, come forth. So he had told them in John 10 that he had the power to lay down his life and he had the power to take it up again. And then Lazarus dies and he goes with them and he shows them that he has power over death. He can bring victory even in the face of death. And not just 1 day death, 2 day death. Not just 2 day death, 3 day death. Not just 3 day death, 4 day death. You can be in there so long that your family says, by now he stinks. And he says, come forth. And he can raise the dead. He was showing them that he had resurrection power, that he was carrying life-giving power. Glory to God. Dead things respond to the voice of Jesus. Jesus didn't just talk about resurrection, he demonstrated it. Jesus carried resurrection power for the purpose of giving new life. Back in John 10, verses 15 and 16, it says, the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus said that he was laying his life down for the sheep. But the life that he was laying down, he says, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. And then he demonstrates that he has resurrection power because of Lazarus. The scripture tells us that he laid down his life for the sheep. The reason that he was laying down his life, the reason that he was demonstrating those things is because the life that he had was the life that we need. This resurrection power that Jesus carried was the very life that you and I needed in our lives. You know, so people ask the question all the time. You hear this, well, who killed Jesus? Well, it wasn't the devil. The devil didn't kill Jesus. It wasn't the Jews. And it wasn't the Romans, because Jesus said, I lay my life down willingly. No man takes my life from me. He chose to do it. And he knew that he'd lay down his life and that he could bring it back again. Glory to God. The power of God is able to raise dead things to life. Jesus laid down his life willingly so that we could receive his life. The reason that he gave his life is so that we could receive the life that we now have. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6 says this. It says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, everybody say dead, he made us alive together with Christ. You and I have been made alive through Christ, the one that raises the dead. Glory to God. By grace you've been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You, he made alive. Even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. Glory to God. We're alive because he's alive. Amen. You know, sometimes people ask, they were like, where's your evidence for that? Pastor Hagin talked about some of the evidence of the resurrection. But I'll tell you some evidence. Rob Betts used to be a dipstick. And Jesus came into my life, and I'm no longer the dipstick that I once was. I don't need no amens from my wife over here. I'm just checking. What's my evidence that Jesus is alive? Because I took him at his word and my life is changed. My life is different. What's your evidence? Your life is different than it was. You he made alive because he raises dead things. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no way of escaping the direction that we were going. There was nothing that we could do to put the brakes on, try as we might. But Jesus paid the price, and because he had resurrection power, he gave life to dead things. He gave life to Lazarus. He said, no one takes my life from me. I'll lay it down. I'll pick it back up again. And he said, you need life. And the life that you and I need is the life that Jesus gave. And it belongs to us because he paid the price for it. We were dead in trespasses. We're alive because of Jesus and the blood that he shed. Amen. When Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in Luke 4:18, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. When Jesus said those things, that's it. What is good news to poor people? What is good news to sick people? What is good news to lost people? That you don't have to be poor, that you don't have to be sick, that you don't have to be dead in your trespasses and sins. What is the gospel to those people? That Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and anointed him to preach good news. Glory to God. I know you guys, I shared last week that we went on the missions trip to Panama. And the number of people that we saw come to Christ when we gave them the good news, the number of people who were dead in trespasses and sins, that when we told them, when we asked them the question, we said, if you died, do you know that you could go to heaven and be with God? Do you know that? And our interpreter would ask them the question. He would say, do you know, how sure are you? And he would say, are you 10% sure? Are you 20% sure? How sure are you? And nobody could tell us 100% that they were born again. They didn't know that if they died, that they'd go to heaven. We could tell them, if I died, if I took my last breath, I can stand here in front of you today and say, if I took my last breath right now, that I don't question, not for one second, that when I am absent from this body, I'll be present with the Lord. Why? Because I've been made alive through Christ Jesus. I was separated. Jesus came. God so loved me that he sent Jesus because we needed a perfect sacrifice. He paid the price. So, you know, some people don't like that message. Well, how come somebody had to die? You didn't. What do you care? Because there's a penalty for sin. But you're not even having to pay it. I didn't even have to pay it. It was my debt and he paid the price. Amen. The number of people, when they heard that would say, I would say, do you want that? If you want that, the students would ask them, if you want that, I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray that. All you need to do is believe on Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus came and paid the price for you? If you believe that, we're going to pray, and you can believe and confess with your mouth, and you'll be born again. And man, you start praying, and people start praying with you. Glory to God. Victory over death. He gave us victory over death because he had resurrection power. What looked like defeat was actually a victory. No one had seen it. Nobody understood, even though Jesus had tried to show them ahead of time. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. Nobody knew what was happening. They didn't understand that Jesus was not going to die on the cross and that was going to be the end of it. You know, if you think that you've got some antagonist and he's just stirring up the people, well, we'll just crucify him and we'll get him out of the way and then that'll be the end of the antagonist. No more bother. It's taken care of. They didn't know that he was not going to stay in the grave, glory to God. And because he didn't stay in the grave, you and I don't have to stay dead in our trespasses and sins either. Amen? Because he gives life to dead things. The enemy thought he stopped him, thought he silenced him, thought it was over, but it was all a setup for resurrection. It was just a setup for resurrection. There's a term in the movies. I learned this from my friend, Brother Andrew Wolf, who works in our video department. There's a term in movies called setups and payoffs. And setups and payoffs are like, to demonstrate one of them, what's a good setup and payoff? A good setup and payoff is, if anybody remembers the old movie Dirty Harry, at the beginning of Dirty Harry, the Clint Eastwood plays a cop, and there's a bank robber, and the guy robs the bank, and then he's out in front of the bank, and Dirty Harry comes up, and he's got this big long gun. It's a .44 Magnum, and the guy is down against the wall, but there's a gun next to him. And Dirty Harry says to him, he says, I know what you're thinking. And he's pulled his gun out. He said, you're thinking, it's a revolver. He says, you're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? And then he goes, to tell you the truth, in all the confusion, he said, I've forgotten myself. And then he says, but you got to ask yourself, do I feel lucky? And the guy looks over at the gun, and he looks over at Dirty Harry, and he looks at the gun, and he looks at Dirty Harry, and he just does this. And so then they arrest him, but he says to Clint Eastwood, he said, man, he said, I've got to know. And Dirty Harry puts the gun up and click, no more bullets. And the guy's like, oh, you know, like he could have got away with it. Fast forward to the end of the movie. And at the end of the movie, this whole scene plays out where he catches this murderer. And this murderer is on this conveyor belt. And he has a gun, but he loses the gun. The gun falls over. And you see the gun over there. And Dirty Harry says, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all the confusion, I've forgotten myself. You've got to ask yourself, do I feel lucky? And this time, you're like, the gun's empty. We've already seen this before. And the guy goes for the gun, and when he does, turns out it wasn't. And Dirty Harry shoots the bad guy. It's a setup and payoff. It's something that they put in, they call them in movies sometimes Easter eggs, where they put something in there that points you to something that later on, there's a payoff for it. And the payoff is, in the movies, everybody cheers, yeah, I get it. Well, what Jesus was doing was he was showing them. He said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again. Then he goes and he raises somebody from the dead. What's he showing them? I have resurrection power. It's the setup is the demonstration of, at that point, before he goes to Lazarus, Thomas, if you go back and you read that, Thomas says, they warn him, don't go back there. You know, the Jews are trying to kill you. And Thomas says, let's go and die with him. But Jesus wasn't trying to send him to go die. He was trying to go send them to show them that they could live. But nobody caught it. And so at the end of it, the story, you're at the end of it, and everybody thinks, no more bullets in the gun. Jesus has been crucified. That's the end of it. Now they've taken our Lord down and they put him behind a tomb, and that's the end of it. But there was still one more round. Jesus was trying to show them that there was a payoff. He laid down his life. He shed his blood. And that stone was rolled away. And he didn't just lay behind there. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, Jesus was in there taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He was paying the price, making sure that we could receive this abundant life that we now have, that we now live, because Jesus had resurrection power. And it's the same today. Just because he is seated at the right hand of God does not mean that anything's changed. Everything that he set in motion by the power that was within him belonged to us then, and it belongs to us now, and it belongs to anybody who will receive Jesus. Because if your life is dead, if there's something in your life that is dead and decaying, and maybe it's been that way for 4 days, he can raise it up and change it and breathe new life in it. He had resurrection power. The power to raise dead things. This gospel message that we carry is not a message of weakness. It's not a message of defeat. Jesus didn't stay behind the stone. It was rolled away. And he sits at the right hand of God. Full of glory and full of power. And he died for a glorious church, full of glory and power. Because Jesus carried resurrection life, we've been raised to new life in him. Glory to God. The scripture tells us we've been seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. That resurrection power has changed us. It's the message that we take to a lost and dying world. That our Savior's risen. No one else can say that. No one else can say that their God lives. They thought they had him. They thought that it was over. But he had resurrection power. I want to pray for you tonight. I know we're all church family in here, but I'm going to give an invitation. You can stand to your feet. We better close. Our prayer team can come down, our altar care team, they can go ahead and come this way. And while they're coming, I'm going to pray, but here's what I'm going to pray for you. First, I'm going to pray for you online. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never accepted Jesus, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can. The scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus did die, but he rose again. Just like the scripture tells us. And he's seated at the right hand of God, and he'll come into your life. All you have to do is believe on Jesus, that he took what you couldn't do for yourself, and he paid the price. You can ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, accept Jesus, confess him with your mouth, and you'll be born again. You'll be alive unto God, no longer separated. If you're in here, and you didn't raise your hand, and you're a guest, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here without knowing who Jesus is as a Savior, as your Lord. Receive Christ today. When we leave, I'm going to pray. When we leave, if you need that salvation experience, you need to accept Jesus, then when we're leaving, I want you to come down. And if you're a lady, I want you to come to our ladies. If you're a man, I want you to go to the men. If you need to be born again, if you need a no-so experience, you say, you know, I was living for God, I was serving God, but he never turned his back on me, but I turned my back on him. I did my own thing. I need to rededicate my life. I want you to come down and you pray with these folks tonight and you do that. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this endowment of power that the Bible talks about in the book of Acts, there is an experience subsequent to salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It is power for living in this lost and hurting world. If you need that, I want you to come down here and they'll pray with you and you can receive that. Maybe you've got something else. You are born again. Maybe you're even spirit-filled, but you feel like some things in your life have died. Maybe some relationships. Maybe you feel like the dream that God gave you has died. Maybe you feel like what He called you to, maybe it feels like that's so distant that it just seems like it's dead. You need somebody to believe God with you to renew your purpose. If that's you, I want you to come down here. I'm going to pray a general prayer before we close. And then as we're leaving, if you need prayer for any of those things, I want you to come down now. Father God, I pray for this group, this congregation tonight, that they wouldn't leave here without everything that you paid for. The resurrection life and power that you give to us through Jesus Christ, that they would experience in a greater measure a level of living that they that maybe they've never even known, Lord. Don't let them leave here. Lord, I pray that you would minister to their hearts. Lord, prick their hearts tonight by your Spirit. Speak to their hearts. If they need something from you, if they need somebody to pray with them, that they wouldn't leave here. They wouldn't be satisfied to walk away the same when they could leave here so different if they'd allow you to move and operate in their life. Thank you for your faithfulness to all of us, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy for this church family, for our pastors. We thank you for a place that we can call a church home where we can worship and we can find a deeper walk with you. We give you praise and glory for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there anything else? God bless you guys. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Be here. Praise the Lord. Be a blessing to your church family before you leave. Love on one another.